Welcome, everybody. This is Be Positive Podcast, live, coming to you, Chapter 9, in the comfort of our own homes, man, with my boy Darren. How you feeling, my man?
Hey, I got my wine again. You good?
Yeah. That's funny. Hey, one of y'all got the audio up on the stream. I can hear it in the thing.
That was me. I just turned it down.
We fans, we
just turned it down.
We padding our own stats.
I just want to keep up with the people. That's all.
That's true. I got it in front of me, man. Hey, man, this is quarantine day 22, man. For everybody keeping track out there. Darren, how you holding up, man? You know what? First question I got for you, man. This is kind of if anybody saw last week's chapter. Tell me how you like the Black Cantrip.
It was all right. That's all I got for you.
That's all you got. Come on,
that's
man.
That's all I got for you. My homie, I had like a couple of them, but he don't drink. He don't drink them all. And he know me. If they was really, really hidden, they'd have been gone.
They would have been gone. Dang.
Nah. They all right, man. But
I was a little off base.
Maybe I went into comparing it to a Monaco.
No, yes. I told you not to compare it to a Monaco, man.
Yeah. I was a little. It was straight. I didn't like dump it in the sink.
Yeah. Cool. You dumped it in the sink?
No. I said I did dump it in the sink.
Oh my God. I was about to be like, all that good, truly, man. I'm about to lose my fake sponsorship. Come on.
I should have told you. Ah, man, that shit was trash. I pointed it.
Yeah, damn. Boy, I would have legit, my heart would have sank, bro. Heart would have sank, man. My heart would have sank. Man, what's new with you, man? What's going on?
Man, you ask me every week what's new. Not a goddamn thing. Nothing at all. Hey, man. Nothing new. My beard getting thicker. And my haircut expired from a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Damn. You said the haircut expired.
That's what I say. Your haircut got an expiration date, man. So it's only going to go, you know what I'm saying? And TJ a little upset. Because Lori Lightfoot that got her hair cut.
She got faded up before all y'all.
he told me this morning, he like, bro, she the only one out here with the Easter cut? She knows.
She is the only one. Easter is this Sunday, ain't it? Dang, she the only one.
Hey,
here's my one question, man. I love Miss Lightfoot. But is she gonna get a tailored suit for Easter? Come on, man.
I'm trying to think of, was it Man Alive? They used to be, was it called Man Alive? You get the Steve Harvey line from Man Alive. She got old, bro. Steve Harvey, real tall.
Yeah, she got up. And the thing is, how tall is she? 5'4" or something? I mean, like, because the suit look like it's made for an American Girl doll. You know what I mean? Like,
foot tall
pseudo
and she only five. That's crazy.
That is, man. Come on, like I bet you they bobby pin her stuff together, man. On the bottom, man.
man,
let me get off Lightfoot, man.
Yeah, man, leave Littlefoot
alone.
Yeah,
you called a Littlefoot. Come on, man. Why you hit her with the Lamb Before Time, man? No, Littlefoot is
that's Lamb Before Time.
That is Lamb Before Time. Yeah.
To piggyback what you said off the Trulies, I feel like that's been your like one go-to thing like during the quarantine.
Yeah.
So my question is for whoever listening or looking or whatever, what's your one quarantine snack or drink that's like your Achilles heel? And it's always been my Achilles heel, but more so, like, I just can't get enough of no matter what they are. It's terrible.
Who?
It's terrible.
What you say?
Chips. Just chips in general.
Oh, chips?
I can't get away from chips, man.
You can't get away from
what it is.
All right, so we power ranking food again. what? What chips do you go to?
So no particular order. I can't do them in no order. Okay. I'm gonna rock with some plain Ruffles.
Okay.
Well, whatever with some Ruffle chips, some plain chips.
Okay.
That's a staple for sure.
Okay.
Dorito.
Which Doritos? Which ones?
Both.
Both.
Cool Ranch and Nacho.
Okay. Sure. All right. Okay.
Top five.
We get it.
I'll rock with some Cheetos, but not like that. You know, I'm probably more of a Cheetos Puffs guy. I'm probably a Puff person.
Yeah, Cheetos. The Puffs? The old school ones?
Yeah, I'm probably a Puff guy.
Okay, alright. That's five.
That's a solid, that's four.
That's four?
I really don't, I mean, I might rock with some, yeah, but other than that, those four are 100%.
Man, all right, let me go. Here's what I'm going to say.
Say some Reese cup chips.
Look, come on, man. Leave me alone. leave me alone. I love Reese's, man. I'm trying to get that sponsorship, too. Anyway, here's my top five chips, man. Right now, Jay's the fire, the hot stuff, that's number one right now. That's number one.
You hood as hell.
Bro, I'm telling you, I'm back in the shy, man. I'm telling you, like, I forgot how good these were. They fresher out here, man. Suburbs be getting them old batches, man. Telling you. That's a fact. I know it. This is confirmed. So, yeah, we got the Jay's hot stuff. I'm going to go Cool Ranch. Cool Ranch. Again, now after the Jay's, ain't no particular order. Then we got the Cheetos, the hot Cheetos. Okay? You got to get the hot ones. Then, you know, my girl put me onto these new things called, they voodoo or something. You know, some voodoo chips or something. I don't know. They good as fuck, though. That's all I do know. They taste like, you know what? They ain't nothing but sweet and sour. Salt and vinegar, I mean. That's all they are, man.
I was going to say, salt and vinegar is a staple, too.
Yeah.
Right along with, yeah,
100%. Yeah. Man, then.
I'll trade one of those out for the pup.
Okay, that made more sense to me, man. You don't seem like a Puff guy. You know what I mean? Like that. You don't seem like a Puff guy. Hey, man. Hard transition. Something that's been keeping me occupied. This quarantine, bro. I got an Xbox again, man. I'm back with the gaming, man. I'm back. Darian, you here with me? I think we lost Darian. There you go. I hear you. You hear me?
Yeah, you good.
All right, this is live. This is live as fuck. Hey, cool thing is when we put this on production, I can edit all this shit out, so it won't even seem like we didn't even do nothing. Anyway, I said I got my Xbox back, bro.
Yeah, I told you. I'm waiting on you to get your 2K up, so because I'm back with the shits.
No, see, you were good. I logged on and I was downloading some things, man. The last time I logged on to my Xbox or had an Xbox was in October of 2018, bro. It's been that long, so I'm rusty as fuck, is what I'm trying to say. I don't want no smoke on the video games.
Come on, man. We can just practice. It's nothing, man.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. That's all we going to do. Hey, we ain't going to do no shit where it count towards a record or nothing, because next time we have a Be Positive podcast, we're going to be beefing. It's going to be beef positive. I'm wilding out, man. I'm wilding out. Hey, man. Darian, you ready for the guest that we got today, man? You ready for the guest that we got today, man?
Say that one more time. God damn it.
I said, are you ready for today's guest?
Yeah, of course. A bright young man. He's a strapping young fellow.
you switch it up on me? What the hell? Strapping young fellow. Like, what the hell?
Strapping young fellow.
Okay. Wine, that wine. Yeah, I'm about to say, that wine hidden, ain't it? Boy, that wine is hidden. I'm excited to have him on here, man. I'm super excited to have him on here, man. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him for almost long. Actually, just as long as I know you. A little bit longer than I know you, man. So, he family. You know what I mean? This is family, man. So, I'm happy to have him on there. But before we introduce him, I got a little clip for those that didn't read the caption. But here we go. I'm going to play us a little bit here.
So, Nick, how have things been since the quarantine started?
It was okay at first. It felt like a vacation or something. But then I really started missing the stage. So I decided to plug in a mic and, you know, carry it around wherever I went. I'm trying to drink more tea to stay healthy.
Nick, I know this is a hard time. Have you been sleeping okay?
I've been getting my normal 8 hours. You know me. I'm never stressing.
Waking up is tough, you know. Mornings, I'm not really a morning guy. So I gotta take extra time before I go to the shower.
Nicholas, is the mic working? Are you happy with the results?
Is it working? Am I happy? I haven't been this happy before in my entire life.
I miss it. I miss it so much. The funny thing about crying.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Mr. Nick Norman, everybody. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
What's up?
Yo, yo, yo.
Man.
Hey, man, you ain't got nothing to...
No, no, I don't.
Man. Hey, man, tell us about that. Hey, how you come up with that clip, man? Tell us about that. That shit funny, bro.
To be honest, I was going to film a different clip, and I was like thinking about it. I had a prop set out. I had this wig, the bio suit, and a full ass raccoon suit.
Raccoon suit.
A raccoon suit. A grown man sized raccoon suit. So,
the Super Mario joint. The Super Mario joint.
Yeah, something like that. So, I'm like, this video about to be crazy. And then I see this microphone, like, laying on the, it's like an old PS4 microphone. And I'm like, no, nah, I'm going to do this. Like, it just all started coming to me for that one. I'm like, what if I never put the microphone down because I miss stand-up so much, you know? And then I started thinking of different scenes within it, filmed all of them, chopped it up, and did that.
That shit funny, man. That shit funny. Go ahead, D.
This got all of us out here creative. It's here. I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's really putting people to the test, man, of how you can be adaptable and adjust, honestly. So it's really showing, like, probably showing people another side to themselves they didn't even know they had or was able to tap into.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I haven't done sketch in a minute, man. It was like a big thing for me in high school with my roommate, my best friend. We used to film sketch comedy all the time, and that's one of the things that like got me going, and then we stopped. So when I got back into doing these and filming these, it just started bringing all that back, and you know, I'm having fun with it.
That's what's up, man. You can tell you have fun.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, it's fun. Like, I think the fun about like doing sketches or skits or anything like that is just the creative process and having the idea like start in your head and then see how you can make it play out and like what you sometimes you might have an over the top idea in your head and you're like, man, I'll never be able to make this come to life on camera, but somehow you like, damn, I made it work. Like, right. You know what I'm, yeah. I didn't never think I was gonna make it rain for real, but I made it rain. Like, you know, right. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I had a bunch of ideas for the intro for my last show, and then the last CMSA show that I was gonna have, and then it got canceled.
Mm.
And then I'm like, I have all of this stuff that I ordered that I'm just like sitting on now.
You told me about that too, man. I was waiting for it, man. Like,
yeah, man.
I was waiting for it.
Hey. I ran the idea past like three people. I'm like, I want to shock the whole room with this.
That was going to be a shock, you know? Man. Hey, I'm glad that you told me about it, man. Hey, before we jump in there, because I know we want to ask more questions about the show, but kind of give us a little background, man. Hey, you got me in the stand-up, man, and I'm sorry that it took me for a little while to put you on this podcast. that's my fault, man. But you're the reason why I'm in this game, man. A lot of people don't know that, man. So give the people a little history about not me and you, but your history, man. Tell us how Nick started.
So this was something people told me. I was always in the art, but like growing up, my mom would be like, "Oh, you're gonna be a comedian," or people would tell me I was gonna be a comedian. I was funny. And I loved stand-up, too, but I never pictured myself doing it until I started watching Def Jam. And I was in second grade. I used to sneak out my room when my parents thought I was sleeping and watch it from the hallway. And then I would go to school and tell Bernie Mac jokes in, like, the second grade.
Bernie Mac is the man. Bernie Mac is the man, man. That's pretty dope, man.
Bernie Mac is a man.
Hey, who's your top few comedians in the game, past or present?
Past or present, that would be
your inspiration.
Bernie Mac for sure. Dave Chappelle, obviously. Chris Rock, and currently who I've been like. This dude is, because he does like a storytelling style. My style is like storytelling too, is Tom Segura. I've been messing with him a lot. If you haven't checked out his stuff, you know, check it out. It's hilarious.
His latest special is fantastic.
Yeah, and it has great replay value, you know, all of his stuff. So those are a lot of my inspirations.
There you go.
Somebody about to shoot me up in the comments, but I'm going. Y'all really think Chris Rock that?
Let me tell you.
Like, for real, like, Chris Rock that funny.
Let me tell you why. D.L. Hughley also. Chris Rock, he was that dude, man. Like, he was my generation before, like, coming up, the Kevin Hart. Know, everywhere, doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, you know, back then, funny as hell, inspirational, but he designed a style. You can't take that away from him. Whether you think is, you know, funny or not, that his style is his own. When you see people doing impersonations of him, ask yourself, who does that sound like? Nobody. Nobody sounds like that now.
He created a style and he
ran with that, man. So that's definitely, you know, he's an OG with this, you know. Somebody I've always respected. When I didn't have hair, I always got called Chris Rock.
I mean, that's no disrespect. No disrespect. Yeah. We all got our tastes and preferences. It's no disrespect towards him. Like, I feel like he changed the game, like, in the sense of letting people be able to find their own style and not be like somebody else. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But as far as, like, bar for bar, funny, fun, I'm like,
okay, hey.
I say Bernie Mac, 10 times funnier than Chris Rock to me. 10 times funnier than Chris Rock.
I'm partial to Bernie Mac too. I like Bernie Mac. I got this name tattooed on my arm. That's crazy. But like, he's my inspiration. So, man, Darian, boy, this is.
I don't care. I look at the smoke. I told you before, like, Chris Rock ain't that funny to me.
I know.
Like Eddie Murphy. Look, and we can do that. Eddie Murphy didn't even come out of, like, you didn't say nothing about Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy funnier than Chris.
Oh my God! How did I not say something about Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy funnier than Chris Rock.
How did I not say? Well, Eddie Murphy is funnier than everybody.
Red Fox funnier than Chris Rock. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey,
yeah, like,
you know,
I don't know.
The dude that did Bebe's Kids, that they did off his, he's funny. And too bad he died. way too early. He died way too early, man. Way too early. Nick, man, I done been in stand up with you, improv, man. We did the A3E program. I done seen you do some funny stuff, bro, and it looks effortless, man. Like, I'm telling you, man, like, you one of those people, man. I'm gonna say it, man. You one of those people that not a lot of people need open mics. You know, you one of them people that you got it, man. Yeah, bro, you got it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, I admire that, man. Like, I'm not saying you don't do open mics and all that stuff, but I'm just saying you got that natural talent, and I love open mic scene, but, man, you got it, bro. Like, it's almost like, dude, how do you do this?
I put my time in with that, you know, just like everybody else put their time in with it. Not saying that it should stop at a certain point, but it's a different process for everybody, you know. And, you know, I still pop in on your mic and practice my material that way, but a lot of people in the Chicago scene don't know me from when I started this in the suburb scene is when I was hitting up all the mics.
Yeah.
You know, there's bars and stuff like that do mics out here with a lot of comedians out here, but they just don't go to Chicago. So it's like a whole separate scene. And when I started out, that's what I was hitting up. Hmm. My guy, Colin Denny, hilarious. I wish he was coming out to the city and doing stand-up and still at it. He would hit me up like, yo, there's a mic in St. Charles, let's go. Boom, we would go. Yo, there's one here, we would go. You know, so I put my time in with that. I didn't just like come out the gate, you know, and then just like, I'm super funny on stage, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know you didn't do that. We kind of started in the same area. Out in Plainfield, you know, like right out there. I know you were doing the thing. You were trying to get me to do stand up at that time, and I wasn't having no parts of it until till I had a breakdown. You were telling me.
This might be a question for both of y'all. Do y'all feel as stand up comedian? Do y'all feel like it is a certain point where, not that you don't feel like you don't need to do open mics, but like, you feel like you start doing less of open mics because you found not a better way to get your reps in with your material, but you just found a different way to do it on your own to test material up?
See, that's a very good point, a very good way of putting it, because everybody's not the same. So some people will look at it that way, like going to the gym, and open mics are your gym session, you know, and you there every day strengthening your material. Like, I do 3 open mics every day, 7 days a week. I have a job.
Okay, we hear you, big dog.
But, you know, some people do that, but for me, I try to not do the same material everywhere because I get bored with it. You know, there's big shows that, you, of course, you're going to throw out your haymakers, your best stuff.
Yeah.
But when I go to, like, a show that's, like, a smaller show or, like, a more comfortable, like, intimate crowd, you know, those type of shows, like a bar show or something like that, I'm going to practice myself then. I'm going to, you know, sharpen that out that way, and then I'm going to hit you with it at a big show when it's ready.
There you go.
Okay.
That's dope. Yeah, and for me is, look, I run an open mic, so kind of my practice is at my own open mic. I have a lot of shows, thank God that I get blessed with it to be able to do, but for me, I kind of like work in bits and pieces during the open mic. If you ever been to the open mic that I run, I talk a lot of shit.
One of the best open mics.
Hey, go ahead. Sir. Say that again, yes, for the people that didn't hear you. I think
just recognize that. Yes. One of the best.
Okay,
the best,
okay. Yes. Just in case the audio went out.
I went to what's it called? A comedy website that lists off all the open mics.
Yeah.
When I finally shifted to going to Chicago.
Yep.
And I tried out a lot of them, man. None of them even started. None of them were how yours started, and these were like established mics. You know what I mean? And even your setup, to put thought into your setup, I've gone to an open mic that I found on that website, and they're like, stand next to this table. And I'm like, in the middle of all of these tables? Like, y'all can't perform? I literally perform standing next to some people on a date. My guy Darius, he's in the chat. He was there for this. It was awkward for me because it was a small-ass crowd, meaning my guy Darius at that date. And I was just standing there right next to those people, and I'm thinking, like, they could have moved the tables back, they could have presented some way, but they didn't even try. And this was a weekly fight, you know?
Oh, wow. So, hey man.
Yeah, so y'all, from the beginning, y'all set up, and now y'all got a DJ, you know, you got a line, like, tag, like 40 people, 30
people. Dude, just try to do some everything, crazy. Man. Try to do, man, hey, look. I always say it ain't just me. It's a production, man. I thank the people around me, man. Big time. My buddies is. I always shout out my buddies, and if people don't know, man, I ain't about to take all that kind of credit, man. But thank you to Brian and my buddies and all the staff there that kind of helped put that thing together, man. And all the people and everybody out there in the city, man, that come out that makes it what it is, man.
Yeah.
They make that mic what it is. That's a good ass question, Darren. Boy, I'm glad he went first. I was starting to sweat. I'm like, shit.
Nick, like you say, you've been, like you started like in the suburbs a lot and then you shifted out to Chicago. What obstacles have you seen since you've been like doing stand-up? Like what things have you had to...
So, choosing your passion was my first one. Because I started in like 2008, 2009 is when I very first perform. I don't want to say I started like I was going that hard all the way till now. But I was in art school. I went to the Art Institute for animation. So with working, school, homework, all of that, and then trying to juggle this thing, I just went back to art. I was loving the stand-up. I was doing that. But you know, I'm like, let me get through school. So I was doing it here and there with my friends, like, yo, I want to see you perform. I go catch a mic out there. And then I stopped and focused on school. And then one day I was talking to Dario. He's like, yo, I'm going to this place called Second City. And I was doing shows in Chicago here and there before I went to the Second City. So it was the struggle, I want to say, is learning the game out here. Getting introduced to the scene, learning where to, you know, what you fit into and all of that. And I kind of lost it in a sense where I'm like, I'm tired of this. You know, you run into struggles as far as people who like don't give you the time of day to listen to your stuff. You know, you run into like going and doing a mic to where, you know, or something like an audition where you practice the hell out of this and you got an airtight 5 minutes. You know, I had my mom excited, like, you gonna do this? I'm praying for you. And then you go do the mic and the person who's judging it or whatever, they don't care because their friend already got the spot that you're applying for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that had me, like, that one was my biggest obstacle because I'm like, I need to leave here. I need to go try to scene somewhere else. Not like I was running away from it, but I was running into that so much that I was like, you know, I just assumed that was the whole thing. So meeting Artie meeting Neil Brennan. I met Neil Brennan, co-creator of Chappelle's Show. Mm. And I met him in L.A. outside of a comedy club just on some random stuff. And he asked me, like, how things are going, what I'm doing. I said, I'm doing improv and stand-up. He said, stop doing improv.
Oh, boy.
I was like, all right. The last time I ever did improv, I went to L.A. and never came back doing improv. But he said, stop doing improv. And then he said, what are you doing in stand-up, you know, whatever. And I was like, I'm thinking about coming out here to pursue it further. You know, I want to see the scene out here. He's like, why would you leave your home? Why would you leave your friends? Why would you leave your family? Why would you leave people you know to come to this culture shop? Well, you have no one.
Yeah.
And, you know, start all the way over. And I'm like, well, it's because it's like this there. And, you know, he started naming all these great Chicago comedians that came up out of there and was like, you just got to do it. You got to find your own way. And I was still going to Second City, so I came back, like, let's keep focusing on this stand-up. And then my boy Darius told me about the shithole. And that was when that whole, you know, bitch started.
Shithole is fantastic, bro.
Yes, it's amazing.
Shout out to the shithole, season one.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. First chapter.
Chapter one. Yeah. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do, the amount of shows you do a week, the people you do. If you have not done that and experienced it and met those people and experienced that vibe and that energy in that room, you're still missing out on me. That's like essential. That's like you are missing something huge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of people look at it like that isn't, like, that's not the man. Like, go see what those guys are doing. Go see how creative the people are and experience that for yourself.
Shithole is one of the places where if you want to take a date to that you don't want to talk to, take them to the shithole because you can't talk at the shithole. They will shut your ass up in a heartbeat.
They will.
You can't.
And the first time I went to the shithole, and they were like, we'll ask you politely once to be quiet, and then we'll have to ask you to leave. And I'm thinking, like, have these dudes ever kicked anybody out of here? Like, that's all I'm thinking is, like, trying to picture this, right? So I'm watching an act, and there was somebody right next to me that started talking. And Zach gave him the most
amazing
that I've ever seen
in
my life.
Yeah.
This man looked scared. I was scared. And I wasn't even making sounds.
Boy.
And then he stopped talking.
Gee.
Stopped talking. And it's real. It's real. They want you to have every second of everyone's
bro, you gotta go.
I don't even know if I can picture Zach being that, like.
No, man. You gotta see it, bro.
Go there and just try to talk a little bit through somebody's set.
Bro.
I've seen this a lot now.
Hey.
And they always do that.
Darian, when you go there, you gotta hold in your farts, bro. Like, you can't, you don't. Don't. I hope you ain't got no bad diaphragm, because them hiccups gonna get your ass kicked out. You know what I mean? Like, you better shut the fuck up when you go there. Like, I promise you.
Hey, look. Shout out to the shithole, man. Shout out to the shithole.
Speaking of shows.
You know, that's all.
Sure. Speaking of shows, this is a good time to transition when you say D. Nick, you've been telling me about a show that you wanted to start for the last couple years now. You finally got it kicked off December 2019. Tell us the story, how you got there. Tell us everything about that, man.
That's another one of these stories where you getting, like, discouraged from seeing, like, connections or whatever getting you that far. But I told you about this show. I told my homie James about this show, which he's a huge help. You know, he's another day one. He hopped in the car to go out to the shitty Chicago, like, shitty, like, open mic with two people and just record me with a full ass tripod.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, there was, like, 20 people in the room. He posted, you know, all the first clips I ever posted. But anyway, back to the show. I had this idea for it where I just wanted stand-up, male and female comics. Everybody gets like 10 minutes, so you have time to get comfortable, you know, and people get to know you a little bit. Mm-hmm. And my original idea was more towards like Def Jam, like I wanted a DJ and I wanted that. So I went to a bar in Wrigley and did a whole walkthrough with James, took pictures of the venue, all that stuff, talked to the owner. He was like, no, this is a great idea. Like, let's get y'all in here, whatever, exchange emails. Never heard back.
Mm.
Never heard back at all.
It'd be like that.
I talked to you, Elise Fernandez, and James were the only people I talked to about this. So it was still in my head, but I wasn't shopping for venues, right? So I was at home one day, and I got a text message from Kevin Reeder, and he was like, yo, I'm doing a show. I want you to do some stand-up to open up for it. I'm like, all right, you know, whatever. And I didn't look at the name of the venue or anything, because I assumed it was Cards Against Humanity Theater. I just assumed it was there, because when I do shows for him, it was always at Cards or something like that.
Yeah.
So I saw it was a Cards Against Humanity show. I assumed Cards Against Humanity Theater. And then a few days before that, I look at the flyer again.
No.
And it's at the Museum of Contemporary Art.
Oh.
And it's a sold out show.
That shit looks so good.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, okay, like this is a big deal. This is when you break out the haymaker jokes that you built up over this time.
Yeah.
So I was ready for it, and I went there and I rocked that show. It was a great experience, sold out show. There was hundreds of people there, and then after the show, I started meeting more of the card staff. They're really supportive. They're really nice. And Kevin Reeder asked me to go to lunch. So during our lunch, he was like, man, like, I've seen you perform all of these times. I believe in you and your stand-up. You're at the point where, like, you're Superman and you got to build your Justice League. Those are his words.
Mm-hmm.
I like Marvel.
That's a good one. I like Marvel. I'm Avengers, bro,
Yeah, I'm Spider-Man, bro.
Maze, Spider-Man, what's up? Spider-Man all day.
So, he told me, you're a Superman, you got to build up your Avengers team. Like, he said, you make your show, because I talked to him about the show at the lunch. So he told me, you can put your show on at Cards Against Humanity Theater. And, just come, any resources you need. He told me to go by the office. He showed me around, told me any resources I need. He would help me out, did not charge me, wasn't trying to get anything. And I was like, what's the catch? Because I didn't know him on like a personal level at that point. I didn't, but it was just genuinely, and I met him through the shithole. He had seen me perform through the shithole, never talked, but he just said he was a fan. And when he offered me that space, I talked to James about it, and I'm like, I want to host this thing. I want two female comics, two male comics. I want a diverse lineup. Because one of the things I saw, the comic Liz posted on this, because she was doing a show, and it was like 8 white dudes and 1 girl.
Mm.
And, mm-hmm. Nothing like, I'm not hating on white comics or anything like that. It's like, but there's enough female comedians in Chicago to have half and half.
Yeah.
There's enough different races in Chicago to have like a mixed melting pot at your show.
I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell
them. So, all of these times for this 2-year process that I was thinking about the show, if I did the shithole, if I got booked for something else, I screenshotted comedians that I thought were unique, that I thought that I liked, like the flyer, screenshot them, save their name. So I had this list of people. When I put together these shows, I don't do the exact same style of performer, so the audience can get something different every time, every performer. And then I rotate who's going to close out the show, whether it's male, female, it's back and forth like that. And then I host it. I go do my set 2, my 10, everybody does a 10, and then I'll let the closer have liberty to keep going if they want or stop at their 10. So that was the formula for it. That was the idea. And it's been working out great. I had people hitting me up constantly after the show. This is the most fun show that they've been to.
Yeah.
You got to have Evelyn again. You got to have Marcus Banks again. You got to have Dario again. Because I had Dario on the first show.
Yes, sir. It was lit.
I get hit up so much about people just loving the show, and people, falling in love with those comedians and meeting different styles of people. And so that's one of the things that I wanted to accomplish with it, and it's going great, and we're just getting better with every show.
I would say, Ben, I think I've seen all of the shows to date that you had. You definitely accomplished the vibe, man, and that vibe in that room when you walk out of there, man. It's like you really did see a show. You know what I mean? Like you got to put on a show. I remember the first show you did. Thank you for letting me headline, man. It's an honor, man, to do that. That show was so action packed, bro. I remember Jessica Mance went up before me, and I whispered to her on the Man, on the way back to her seat, all I could say is, why the hell did you do that? I got to follow that? Like, that? That's, man. Yeah, she went crazy. She went crazy. And the whole vibe was good, man. It was so dope, man. And you got a lot of support, man, around the city, man, people that, that do support you, man. And that's dope, man. You can tell.
I wanted to make it unique from other shows, so I came up with the concept of making a flyer for each individual comic and writing a bio. For what the reasons I booked them, when I met them, what I liked about them. I, of course, I had like a group flyer with everybody's thing, but I start promoting the show at the top of the month, and then at the end is when the show is. So I put out a comic like every day or every week, like, this is Tak Mah. I learned more about hosting from Tak when I seen him hosting at Laugh Factory. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this is Evelyn. I met Evelyn at the shithole. I've never seen her do the same set twice, but she always kills me. Yep. You know, this is where I met her. This is, you know, and then I just do that. And shout out to James Stevenson. He makes those flyers, the graphic designer for that. And that's something that you don't really see. Like, you don't really see that. People get put on a card, but you don't know why. And they're not getting the props. Put in work. A lot of comedians, we don't get paid for this. Every comedian at my show gets paid. You know, I take care of the lights and sounds personally. I take care of the filming or whatever the extra stuff is personally. It's $10 a ticket at the end of the night, count it all up, and distribute it to each performer. And even then, I've had people like, this is the most I've ever got paid for doing this. It's literally like 70 to 100 doing a show, which you are not going to get anywhere else for doing 10 minutes.
Yeah,
no. You're not going to get that.
No.
But they deserve it, and that's why.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm paying them, like the crowd is drawn because they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not getting paid just like I'm paying you out of my pocket. The profit is because these people are coming to see you in the first place. And these comedians have been killing it.
Yeah.
And then it's the way that you get what you deserve. Like, you get a flyer that you can keep forever, whatever you post it, put it wherever you want, or you know, I just like this. It's a cool, unique picture of myself, and you get some money in your pocket for doing what you love, and you know, you just have a good time, man. So that was my concept with the show, and it's been going great.
Go ahead, D.
I think one thing that I can admire, like, just about me in general is, Nick, it don't sound like your ego has evolved to come to your show, you know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of promoters, when they promote the show or throwing the show at the event, it somehow turns into them more so than it turns into the. And that's one thing I could say about D too. Like, D take, you know, the people that's in the showcase, and he'll, whether if you've been on the showcase, well, first and foremost, he tried to make the showcase different, like all the time. He never tries to put the same people on stage. But if you have been in the showcase before and you've been on the flyer before, he won't put you on the flyer, he'll put somebody else so they can get their shine. You know what I'm saying? So it's, I think it, and that's one thing, one approach that I took before our show got shut down in Second City. When we would post, like, I posted something about every performer that was in the show so that each person had their shine. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's just important. Like, you know, it should be about the talent. It should be about the people that
and
are.
They deserve
it. Yes, they deserve. It's a lot of talented people out here, man. A lot of talented people.
I remember the first time I got paid for a show, and I got like $20. And I was like, yo, I got $20. I just told the joke, you know. Like, yeah, I was excited.
Yeah.
You know, I finally got paid for doing something that I love to do. It's a different feeling when you get that money from doing something that you like.
Man,
you know?
It was the same thing. I got $20. The first time I got paid out for something, $20. And I was like, boy, I just got on stage acting like a pimp. But it was tough. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a feeling, man.
I'm the dude that would, like, when I do the bar shows and you get paid at the bar and everybody like, y'all want a drink? I'm like, no, I'm going to take this money.
Hey, look.
Like, I want to keep this money that I earned and stand up and go do something else with it, you know, because there's nothing wrong with celebrating your victory and doing that there, but looking at other comedians when we all get paid at the bar, and then they're like, yo, let me get some advice. When they start giving them money, I'm like, you give them the money right back to them. Like, so,
no, yeah, no. Got to be smart about this, man. Hey, I remember the first time I got paid, man. I definitely went to McDonald's, man. I promise you that. I went. I definitely went and got some food.
What was your show at? Bungalow Jones.
Yeah.
After we got paid for Bungalow Jones, I went to Popeye's down the street with my money. And then went home.
Hey,
and
man.
I'm not a drinker, but that was better than beer for me.
Hey, hey, them Bungalow Jones shows, man. A lot of people don't know we was doing the Bungalow Jones shows. We was getting paid before, man. That was a good setup, man. It just kind of it didn't pan out the way we wanted to. But that was technically I told people that this Chicago show is the first show that I ever produced. But that was the first show that I ever produced. And we were paying people. We were paying some good money, man. When we had some crowds there, it was lit.
It was on.
But there's one thing that I noticed from Bungalow Joe's to your production there at my buddy's is it's the same love you got from the owners there that you get from my buddies.
Yeah.
So you could tell you take that same respect, that humbleness, and you know, you took it to a different venue, you're a genuine dude, and they rock with you the same way, you know, as this other place.
It's a brand.
A lot of people would be discouraged. Oh, damn, I'm not at Bungalow Joe's. What do I got to do? Who do I got to meet? And you just stayed yourself, and you met them, and it picked right. I don't even think there was, like, a big gap in between you going from my buddies to Bungalow
No.
Joe's. I know you and Kevin were doing your thing, yeah. But I don't think it was, like, a jump in between there. You
No.
know what I mean? It just, like, picked right back.
That was a crazy time, man, because it was – we literally just went –
a little bit of an overlay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a little bit of overlay because I was just finishing that up and things had started jumping off with at Laugh Factory with the Verified Laughs and then you know it took over in December of 18 with my buddy. So it was like a little bit of overlay. So man, dude, you know what, man? I say it all the time, man. Hey, respect in, respect out. That's all it is, man. And if you live your life like that, man, you know I had somebody tell I heard that I am too positive, which. You know, it makes I don't.
And you know why? And you know, I'm not saying you as a character, but it shocks people because people so much use positivity or whatever when they want something from you. So if you're just helpful and you don't ask them for anything, I have not asked anyone who done my show, can I do your show? I love people. Their own shows, and I've never been on them, and I never expected to because it's not why I booked them. You know, I'm not gonna look and be like, oh, this dude's at this venue. If I book him, maybe he can come on my show. You know what I mean? If I book him on my show, maybe I can get on his. If you just genuine and you just do, I don't ask anybody for anything, man. Like, I just want y'all to come shine, do your thing.
Have fun, do it for the love of the game.
Yeah,
for the love of the game.
But that does shock people. Don't have a motive because it's like it's not even their fault. It's there's a lot of that in this game.
No, that's just what people see, and that could be everyday life, man. Like sometimes people only positive when they want something or when it's for self gain, and it's hard to sometimes it's hard to distinguish when somebody being really just real, you know what I mean? And they like, oh, this dude. Like, he too positive. He too, like, genuine.
Is it real? Yeah.
But that's you to the core. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's both of y'all to the core.
Yeah.
That's myself to the core. I've heard that too sometimes. Like, oh, you just too positive. Or you too upbeat. Or you, like, always always optimistic. Why not? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? I don't want to. Why should I have to force myself to be positive? When I could be positive all the time, like I always have that out life, like you know what I'm saying. I shouldn't just want to do it when it's negative. Like I do it all the time. Like be thankful for the things that you have all the time instead of when you don't have things and now you're looking for some type of positive. You know?
Hey, look, let me. I'm gonna say this, man, and for the people that's watching it, for the people that's gonna listen to it when we put it on the streaming devices, streaming applications, it's three black men sitting right in front of you that's doing things. that we never thought we could do. You know what I mean? Like, so, and that we've been counting that up. So, why the hell we ain't gonna be positive? You know what I'm saying? Like, so, come on, man. We could be down.
Why wouldn't we? Yeah, why wouldn't we encourage you to do the things that you never thought you'd be able to do?
Right.
If we thought, if that's happening to us, like, you know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't we encourage you to have be as optimistic or to strive to be better? Like, yeah. Why wouldn't we do that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we know what the, like, you know, so why wouldn't we want that feeling to somebody else to have that feeling that we have?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Look at us, boy. Yeah. Talk, boy. Hey,
look.
You had some church up in here, boy.
Big, I got one more question before we get out of here, man. Just what advice would you give to stand-up comedians like coming up?
That would be to keep creating new material. Even if you don't think it's funny or whatever, you're coming up with something. Forcing yourself to make something, because that will eventually hit. But what happens is, you know, sometimes you get stuck in a box where you like, this joke is a banger. Like, it hits every time. And then you go perform that everywhere. And then you like, what do you do with that when somebody hits you up and say, let's do 10 minutes. And you got that one fire joke, you know, but it's like 5 minutes. So even with the video production that I've learned for now, just being consistent, man. Be consistent in creating. It's going to make you better. It's going to expand your mind. You're going to do things that you didn't even plan on doing. Just because you're creating, something else is going to spark to your head, and you're just going to, you know, go out there and do something different. So consistency is key, especially if you're coming up. Hit as many mics as you can, but when you're at those mics, establish your jokes and move on to new jokes and then work those out.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Man, my man. Hey, yeah. Worth eight. Look, I'm always say, man, and for people that really ask and know the story between me and you, man, you got me started in this, man. I'm thankful. Same advice you just told everybody that's watching and listening. Same thing that you told me at the beginning, man. So I appreciate you, my brother, what you're doing for Chicago comedy, suburban comedy, for individuals like me. Yeah, man, dude, I'm glad I got into it too, man. Hey, in many ways, it has saved my life, man. That's a whole other 50 minutes we can do, man. But we're gonna save people's ears, man. That's it, man. That's all we got, man. But you know how we end the show. I'm sure you probably heard about it, man. Darian, this is one of our favorite parts of the show. You go ahead, kick it off, man, D.
Just a little honey roast, man. Shout out somebody that, you know, something positive to say about some. Put me on the spot. I really don't know. I've been in the house, so I ain't seen nobody. go ahead, Nick. You got somebody. Go ahead.
Mine would have to be, I would say Zach Bartz. I would say the shithole as a collective, but Zach would be like the person from there that I'm closest with. And him and Dan, if you ever seen his art studio, you would think he's not human. Like, when do you sleep and when do you stop making things? Because you're like stepping over paintings, and then there's paintings all over the wall everywhere. But he's not bored of it. He's another person that produces so much stuff that he's so good at it, and he never gets bored of it. And he's just like, but he's also still so humble to where they're producing this show, helping people out in Chicago, everything, meeting Kevin Reeder for Cards Against Humanity, all of that. None of that would have happened. I didn't go to the shithole, if I didn't meet, you know, Zach, and he'll also give you that advice. He's a great person to talk to, and he's a really inspirational person. So that's who I would have to, you know, shout out specifically, but them as a collective, and also Kevin Reeder for just believing in me like that to say it just floored me. You know, when he said the whole Justice League thing, it just like floored me. Because I didn't know that he saw my comedy like that. And then I eventually ended up, you know, finding out that he had seen me for like over a year. So it was genuine, you know. So people like that are just positive and hardworking, man. Like, Those are the people that deserve those shout-outs.
There you go.
It's one thing that I told TJ last week, man. You got people rooting for you that you don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's people in your corner out here supporting. You have no idea, like, who it is or what they about, man. And just sometimes those people are, they could be watching you all the way up until a point, and then when it's their time to interject themselves into your life to help you get to that next step, that's when they interjected into your life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. As much as we all talk about the shithole and, you know, how much of an impact they not only have in Chicago with each individual person, they there at the right time. You know what I'm saying? And did you say Chris or Kevin? What was his
name? Kevin Reeder.
Zach.
Kevin, he interjected himself into right where he was supposed to. You know what I'm saying? And I tell Dario all the time, people get inserted into your life when they're supposed to, and sometimes they only there meant for a certain amount of time, and then it's time for them to go. You know what I'm saying? But people come into your life and they place into your life because they're there to service. And man, once that purpose is fulfilled, you know it when what it was when the deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, I think I speak for both of us, Dario. I don't know about you if you got somebody, but I just want to shout out everybody in the comments, man. We got a strong 16 people watching us for this last hour. So, Zach actually in here right now, Shout out to Zach Bartz, man. We've been talking about you.
I saw him pop up, too.
He joined afterwards. But go back and watch it, Zach, man. Shout out to TJ. We see you, James. We see you in there, too. But yeah, shout out to all of y'all that's watching, man. We appreciate y'all.
Definitely.
Thank y'all for having me.
You already know what it is.
Of course.
Dario in the middle of his honey roast.
It's all good. No. I got two. I'm gonna shout out the ladies, then we can get the hell out of here. We can do the black people goodbye. I wanna shout out my daughter, man. I was talking to her yesterday. And we were going over school and how things are with doing homeschooling and stuff like that and like the online classes. And this is what she told me. She said, I said, so how's it going? She said, it sucks. the realest answer you can give, man. It was the funniest thing in the world. And then the next person I'm gonna shout out, this is a little plug, man. I'm going to shout out Ashley Roland, and I think she's watching it right now, but shout out to Ashley, man. Yeah, Ashley is the creator behind We Spoke This Into Existence album cover. She is the creator behind the Women's and Non-Binary and the Monday Showcase Flyer, and sneak peek she showed me yesterday of the new album cover for Laughter Is Good for the Soul coming out, as long as Corona don't keep us out. It's coming out in June, but which you are on. We need to talk about that. Shout out to Ashley, man. She is a monster with it. And also,
anything Be Positive, the flyer, like she's there. She created Live and Live with Color. She created that.
She did
flyer.
That, yeah.
So anything like we need. A standpoint of flyer or like presentation wise, Ashley got it. So shout out to you, girl.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, that's my honey roast, man. She's doing a lot. She also does the other show that I'm on, the Audrey Boyle show, you can catch weekly also. She does content for that too. So man, Be Positive is well oiled machine right now, and she's a woman behind it, man. So shout out to her. Again, Nick, thank you for joining us on this chapter. Chapter 9, man. This has been a pleasure. We're gonna have it streaming on all platforms coming soon, probably next week or so.
Nick, plug your Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever.
Everything Nick in real life, spelled out, you know, just how it's supposed to be. Nick Norman Comedy on Facebook. You can also search that through Nick in Real Life. We do the Stay on Stage shows once a month. So whenever this is over, you know, we'll get back on that as soon as we can. Also, you should check out Air and Water show, Wednesdays at the same venue, Cards Against Humanity, crazy improv talent, but they also have stand up sometimes and, you know, all kinds of things, but they deserve some light too, 'cause they're a very positive group of people who put that show on. Yeah, man. Support your people. Try to pay people who help you.
hey, that's real advice, man. Hey, man, thank you again. Thank you for all the people that watch, man, that watch this. We do this weekly. We got a, man, we got a fun episode for you next week.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. Hey, all I can say. Rack. Yeah, of course, Nick. Thank you for being on here, man. If y'all, please watch us on, subscribe on here, man. If you haven't subscribed, you can catch us on Instagram, Be Positive Podcast. At Darian.Lou on Instagram. Dario D.
Dude, what's positive, so I'm just gonna go ahead and rock with it.
Go back, say what you said again. Do you have for cutter?
Oh my goodness. I said you can catch, damn it, catch us online everywhere. Be positive everywhere on Instagram. What a way to end the damn show. Oh my goodness. Catch us on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. He's Darian.Lou. I'm Dario D. Comedy. Nick in real life. We're going to catch you next week. We got one hell of a show for you next week. Y'all can catch it. Terminal 5 going to be in the building. Fuck it. T5 is going to be on. T5, we're going to have all five of them. And they got a big-ass following. Our server's going to break, I promise you. We're going to have a 200 stream. Because they got followers, man. No, hey, again, thank you.
Nick, appreciate you, Nick.
Yep.
Thanks for having me out.
Y'all be good out there, man. Hey, this quarantine is some bullshit, man, but y'all stay inside, y'all stay healthy, y'all stay safe, and hey, be positive, man. We'll catch y'all next week, y'all.
All love, y'all.
All love. Peace. Check y'all.